Blog Talk Radio.
God help me.
Man resides in the brightly lit realm he assumes to be reality. But there is, unperceived by most, a netherworld. A place just as real, but not so clearly lit. An eerie side.
I run for your lives! It's their long-awaited return. Well, you'll find out in just a moment.
Oh.
Welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show. I am accompanied by...
Dave Binkley from Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And we are accompanied by this week...
It is I, Gar the Ghoul, really trying to find the webpage. Where's the... Oh, come on.
Oh, not signed in, are you?
And a hail and hearty ugga boo boo ugga. To you all. Hi, good old Bob. I would imagine Fogsbane is right around the corner, as well as some other listeners who are with us live that we can't all necessarily see. Tonight!
And may not want to.
Tonight, something I never have done, a hit and run. We're doing hit and runs.
Not even with an old girlfriend?
Well, no, on baseball maybe, but not in a vehicle. Well... Yeah.
Right. Yeah. There you go.
I wouldn't call a hit and run a girlfriend. I have another name for that kind of a hit and run, but I can't share it with you.
Ah,
okay. We are not going there. Okay.
Well, hide hide that body.
We didn't pick a safe word. We didn't pick a safe word.
No.
Tonight's safe word is spleen. Remember that?
Spleen.
Tonight's
that's
safer.
A good German
word. Safe it's real safe because I'll forget it. That's how safe it is.
There you go. Yep. Three tales about kind of somebody or something getting hit by a vehicle. And the driver says, later! And doesn't report it.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of reasons which we'll delve into in tonight's stories.
Yeah. Spleen. Three of them tonight. Three.
Three.
That's
how
more
many
than,
is three?
Two, more than two, less than four. For you, ninth graders.
Greater than
there.
Two? Yeah, greater than two, minor. Less than 748. Yeah, we are on target. So,
yes, we are.
If we spin the wheel of luck, we get what? Crisis and or radio stage five. WCRS.
And then, also, of course, we have the
CBS
Radio
week,
Workshop, dedicated to man's imagination.
Yeah, exactly, that one.
Yeah, get your Kleenex. Get your Kleenex.
Oh, buddy. So, crisis is good and kind of spooky. That would be a good jump-off point. And I want to toss out. I want to toss this out. The Crisis series came out in and around the 1977s. There could have been more than one. I'm not going to argue. But what I noticed was this. If you pay attention to the atmospheric background musics, you'll find it has a creepy association with dark shadows. A lot of the suspense sounds and musics from Dark Shadows was used here in Crisis. It was. I heard it last week, and I noticed it this week, too.
Yeah, it may have been just stock music that they all bought into, or so they could have had a spy go in and steal their music. It's possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm running with spies and theft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes a better story.
It does.
Yeah, it does. And vampires and werewolves and witches, and so there you go. All kinds of trials and tribulations to get back to me. Where is my crazy woman?
And goats.
There she is. Okay. And goats. Yeah, there you go.
Goats on the loose.
My goat's a little bit crazier. Got a new goat. Should I? I'm not selling, but telling. Can I tell about this thing I ran across?
Please tell. We're not getting paid for it, though.
Okay, there you go. If you go browsing to the Target website, they have something called a coffin sound box. 15 creepy sound effects. It's a sound effect toy in the shape of a coffin, and it's got 16 buttons, and they make all kinds of funny noises. And reasonably priced.
And who's paying you for that announcement?
Fangmart.
Fangmart, okay.
Fangmart, yeah, Fangmart. Makers
Fangmart.
Of Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid. They're the parent company. Kool-Aid.
Right,
brand.
Yeah. Fangmart, yeah, Fangmart makes it, and Kool-Aid is the brand. So there you go. And, there's also Fangmart Pharmaceuticals, but that's another story.
I think our V Ghoul had Kool-Aid, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
He didn't. He
apparently,
didn't,
yeah.
He didn't have the branding like you have, but I remember him making Kool-Aid at one time or another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have. We'll say it. It's likened to an X High C can, and it's got the label on it. And then when you tip it over to see how you open it, it's got two marks on it because a vampire opened it for me. There's two in the front and two in the back.
Are we on that topic again? I thought we weren't going to talk about that live. Anyway.
Can't stop it. Stop it.
I know. It's my fault, I think. Anyway.
If you put a foot in place, you can trip it. There you go.
Yes. Yes. And I think starting with Crisis is a darn good idea. This one's titled The Late Comer.
Yes. We got a couple of British chaps in this one, I do say.
Blimey.
Yeah. Was this a South American? No. Where did it come from?
Seattle, Washington.
Oh. Weird that it's got two British guys.
He just wrote it for some British guys to be in there. So,
okay, well, there you go.
And that's what happened.
And it's good and spooky. Yes, and there we go. And it has an air date of November 10, 1977.
The Golden West Radio Network presents Crisis. There's something about a foggy night, call it superstition if you like, that takes the sharp edge off reality. Familiar things appear strange, and unfamiliar places can be baffling.
Look here, Footy, we must have taken the wrong turn.
Will you relax, Ian? For heaven's sakes, we've come exactly according to the old man's instructions. Then why aren't we there by now, lifting a pint of porter and singing all the old songs instead of mucking about in second gear here in the blasted fog?
We're not more than a mile away from it right now. You what?
You don't know. You said you've never been up here in this part of Huntingdon.
Well, I haven't, but I can follow the old man's directions all right. Look here. If I could find my way back home in a shot-up bomber with nothing but stars to steer by, why...
Never look out! Where did he come from?
Out of the fog somewhere. I don't know, but I've hit him. Come on, help me.
I don't see him.
I don't either.
He must have rolled off the road.
Oh, God. Have you got a torch?
No. Isn't there one in the car?
No. He must be in a shrubbery. We've got to find him.
You take the left side of the road. I'll take the right.
Right. Oh, Lord, what a thing to happen. Anything on your side?
No, not yet. Can't see 3 feet ahead of me in this fog.
I wasn't going that fast. You have knocked him very far. God knows I had my eyes glued to the road. Crikey, Ian. I've killed him. You know that?
No, I don't know it yet. As a barrister, you ought not to take such a thing for granted.
Don't tell me what I ought to do. Just find the man.
I'll tell you one thing. He's not on this side of the road.
And he isn't on my side.
That's impossible. Under the car?
No, I looked.
Then where is he?
Yes. Where is he? Where is the man who suddenly loomed up in the glare of the headlights of Neville Foote's car as he and Ian Roberts groped through the early November fog on their way to a reunion of their old RAF squadron that night back in 1947? This is the question that will haunt the two men the rest of the evening and will hang over their heads until the final answer is known. In just a moment, Ian Roberts will return to continue tonight's strange tale of crisis, adapted from Albert Clark's story, The Latecomer.
It was our first reunion. In 3 years since the war, we'd gone our separate ways. I'd got back on the faculty of a small public school where I'd taught before going into the RAF in 1940. I really would have been glad to put the war behind me. When the letter came from the old man, Squadron Commander A.E. Hawk, and then the note from Neville Foote, with whom I'd flown some 40 missions, well, I decided to go. Footy, as we called him, had gone back into law and was doing quite well in London with a firm of solicitors. I took the train to London that early November Saturday, and Footy picked me up in his old Singer two-seater, and we started off upcountry for Hawk's old family estate, the Hedges, in a remote part of Huntingdon, county well over 100 miles north. The afternoon was cold, but the leaves were turning, the countryside was healing from the war, and all in all, I looked forward to a happy weekend reminiscing with old comrades. Footy was preoccupied with telling me everything that had happened to him since his discharge, in minute detail, and we took several wrong turns before we even got out of Middlesex. Then the fog began forming. It got dark, and we were running very late. It was close on 9 o'clock when suddenly, in the light of the headlamps, this man appeared. There was nothing Neville could do, even at 20 or 30 miles an hour, and quick as he was on the brake, Neville hit him, dead on.
How the devil should I know where he is? This is terrible.
Well, we better go get help.
There's just a chance, you know.
What chance?
That he was only stunned. He could have been so scared that he picked himself up and ran across the fields.
I suppose.
Did you get a look at him?
In half a second, not much chance was there.
He was wearing a mac. I saw that much.
Brown, wasn't it?
Yes.
And a cap.
I suppose so. Look, Ian, this puts me in a devil's spot.
Well, it was purely accidental. You couldn't have been doing more than 30. I can vouch for that.
No, you don't understand. The old boys I work for are terribly conservative, have to be, you know.
I suppose.
They won't tolerate the slightest breath of anything, you know, sensational. And they have their eyes on me. One of them's getting on in years, and a partnership's bound to open up in a year or two. And I'm doing everything I can to get it. Once a partner, you don't know where you might end up. Even Parliament someday, you see. So what I'm saying is, well...
What you're saying is it would be embarrassing to have run down someone.
Well, good Lord, don't put it that way.
No, I understand.
Actually, I think you take me for some kind of criminal.
Well, shouldn't we at least report it?
Look, dash it all, man. It's my whole bloody future that's at stake. How was I to know some bloody fool would stagger out in the middle of a country lane in the thick as of a pea super and get himself knocked over? Besides, where is he?
Yes, that's what bothers me. Where is he? We drove the rest of the way to the Hedges in strained silence. I suppose in those few moments I'd lost respect for Neville Foote, and he knew it. But he expected me to overlook it and go on as if nothing had happened, and I found that hard to do. We pulled up in front of a big house that presided over grounds that looked imposing, and parked among a dozen or more other cars. We could hear the party even out in front, and as Neville got out, he walked around the front of the car to have a look.
There. Have a look at this, Ian.
Incriminating evidence?
No, that's the point. Not a scratch.
Radiator's straight. Mudguard's got a bit of a dent in it.
Well, that's been there for years.
Yeah.
If I'd done the fellow any real damage, don't you think that I have a bend in the car or a dent somewhere?
If you say so.
Now listen here, Ian. Absolutely no good will come of mentioning the incident.
Unless the poor bloke's still alive back there.
He isn't. Good Lord, all I'm saying is that... We did all we could. It was his fault. He'll be found in the morning. I'm begging you, Roberts.
Oh, come off it, Footy. Let's go in and try and have a good time.
Well, 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 so you finally made it, eh? Only an hour and 45 minutes late.
I'm terribly sorry, sir. The fog, and I'm afraid I've never been to this part of the country.
Yeah, then we had some car trouble.
Oh?
Oh, it was nothing. Just a foul plugs.
Oh, what kind of car?
An old Singer.
Well, with your experience, Roberts, I shouldn't think a little simple four-bagger would be much of a problem.
Oh, Ian had it fixed in no time, just like he used to do with the old Sunderland.
Well, actually,
then you want to wash the grease off.
Well, I...
Up the main stairs, two doors to your right, in the hallway.
I'll go along, too, if you'll excuse me.
Hurry back down. We've all had a head start.
This is far enough. I haven't any grease to wash up. No.
Well, I had to say something after you came out with that remark about car trouble. Why couldn't you leave well enough alone?
I don't know. This whole thing is so wrong. We've been in the house 5 minutes and we've already been lying our heads off. I just don't like it.
I see. And if you were in my place, I suppose you'd go skipping right up to the nearest constable and blurt out a confession. Would you?
No. I suppose that's what's bothering me most. I suppose I do... What you're doing. We waited a couple of minutes more and then went into the main hall and joined the rest of the party. No one had changed much. There were men I'd eaten with and flown with and bunked with, danger with, familiar faces, and some I barely recognized. All brought together now in the warmth and safety of a big drawing room with a fire blazing on the hearth. The war years seemed a century away. I stood by the fire, a full glass in my hand, watching Footy across the room. He was gesturing to someone with both hands, describing some kind of aerial maneuver, utterly wrapped up in his story. And yet, half an hour before, he had killed an unknown man on a country lane. Is this what war can do to a man? I wondered. Why hadn't he done the same to me? Why couldn't I forget that somewhere in the swirling November fog there lay a man? He was somebody's father or brother or son. He was expected home. His mates were looking for him for a game of darts in a pub, but his sweetheart was watching for him. All sorts of tortured thoughts ran through my mind. While we lounged, fat as cats in a posh mansion, a young man's body grew cold out in the fog. And Neville Foote could pretend it had never happened, swaggering about reliving old war exploits. He was nothing but a callous, cold-blooded coward. I'd half made up my mind to slip away and find a telephone and report the incident when the old man surprised me.
Roberts?
Yes, yes, sir.
You were telling me about yourself. Gone back to teaching, have you?
Yes, sir. I was able to get my old job back.
No more interest in airplanes, eh?
No. I'm afraid I had about all of that I wanted.
Well, not many men stayed in. By the way, you followed those directions I sent you.
Yes.
I was wondering, you didn't see anything of Tony Greer along the road, did you?
Tony Greer? From the old squadron?
Phoned me from Kettering. Said his motorbike broke down and he'd be walking the rest of the way. I hoped you might have seen him.
He's not here yet?
No. Can't understand it. Ought to have been here by now.
Of course. Suddenly it all fit together. The young man in the brown raincoat. I excused myself, moved across the room toward Neville. I had to tell him now. He had killed a man from our old squadron, a man who was on his way to this very reunion.
Ooh. That's a coinky-dinky. Hey, we were just driving down that road. Couldn't be. Nah.
Yeah, what a coinkydink, yep.
Don't look
something
back,
occurred
just a
speed bump. Yeah, just a speed bump. Something occurred to me while I was listening to it that did not occur to me before is in the event of, say, wartime, people are butchering each other left and right. If you were a hit-and-run person at center and be like, yeah, another one for our team, that didn't care. And then Yeah, then you come back to society and they
But see, that was
on
wartime.
It.
And during the wartime, it's just a different era. And it just it's all right to kill them. But when you get back home,
yeah.
It's that way.
Right, yeah. Right.
Well, it depends.
That's kind of a goof. We're not at war right now. However, if you were in the military right now and something happened, a skirmish or whatever, and a bad guy attacked you and you attacked back and you took him down, it's all good. You're in the military. So, yeah. Not so
as
good
long
when
as
you
you're
come
not
back
the FBI.
To society.
Oh, so.
Oh, hello.
Quiet. Stop it.
Anyway.
I didn't say that. I didn't say
talk
that.
Talk about a kettle of fish. Oh, I tell you. Oh, boy.
The IRS you got to worry about. But anyway.
Yeah. Hey. So, no, this is an intriguing little story. Another thing is the perspective that okay, they're back in society now. However, you know, it's a thing of, well, think of my reputation if it's found out. It's like, no, wait, you might have killed a guy. Hello.
See, well, no, that's not how it works for me. See, if it was me, it's just my morbid curiosity, I'd have to know. I have no –
right.
I'm not going to say I'd go back because of moral standing. No, I just couldn't stand not knowing what happened.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess.
But they did stop and they looked all over. They did stop and they looked all over. Didn't find anything. Not even on the bumper or on the radiator,
right,
as they said.
Now,
yeah.
They did find a scratch. Now, see, here's my deal with memory and stuff.
Well,
like
found
that.
They found an old bump on the mud guard, they called it, which would
right.
have been your fender.
But to me, if I found a scratch or a bump, I'd go, I don't know if that just happened or not.
Yeah.
You never know.
Well, he said that had been there for some time, but whether
right.
he was truthful or not, we do not know.
Did they look under the wheel well?
They didn't look under the car? No. They looked beside it. They looked on the side of the road. And they
right.
looked on the road. But did they look under the car? They did not.
Maybe he's still there.
I can't remember. I can't remember if they said this or not, or maybe they're going to say it. I don't want to be a spoiler. Something about the radiator grill, but I'm not sure.
They said that already, yeah. The radiator grill.
Oh, okay, they did. Okay, yeah.
They didn't show anything on the radiator.
No teeth, hair, hands, fingers,
teeth.
Nose, nothing in there. Yeah.
Jeez. No head, fingers, yeah. Knees or toes, knees
and
or toes.
Just
a
big eyeball, grin.
You know.
No teeth, just
yeah,
a giant grin.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Yep.
It says Kilroy was here on the bumper. You're like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Part of somebody's face. Oh.
It's always good when you find a plug of hair, you know. It's always, oh, wow, what did I do?
Yeah.
You can take a
Bigfoot then. Oh, this happened to me years ago, and I kind of freaked out because it's like we're on the interstate. We're on the interstate. My wife and I are on the interstate driving from point A to point B. I don't remember where we were going or why
job.
We were there, but we were. Yeah, it was one of my 5,628 jobs. That's right.
Yeah,
and it was for my job interview for number 562. That was it. And so we're on the interstate, and it's kind of I would say it was nighttime. So we had the automobile lights on, and she's driving, and we were swapping driving because it was a long distance. I don't know where the heck we were going, but so we're going, and oddly,
swapping.
Yeah. Well, hello, Brazil.
Cool.
No, we're not. So we're headed to, and an opossum. An opossum gets into the street, and the opossum, for some weird reason, starts zigzagging like it's honing in on our headlights. Okay, and the wife can't do anything and nails the possum, and she's like, "Oh
See,
my
was,
god!"
It was suicide by car. That's what it was.
Right. I don't beats me. I've never seen
suicide
that behavior
by car.
Forever.
Yeah.
So, the wife stops the car. We're on an interstate. Nobody is around, but we're on an interstate. I'm like, baby, no, don't stop the car. No, you pull it over to the side maybe, but you don't stop in the interstate. I was freaking out. Yeah. And I love animals. Animals are wonderful, fantastic, you know. But, you know, for this, you pull over to the side, you know.
Yeah.
That's what you're not going to do.
Yeah.
You become
right.
somebody's hood ornament that way.
Yeah, you become a target yourself. So, yeah, I was like, that freaked me out. But she went into a state of shock for a few minutes, and she just stopped the car. And I was like, what? No, don't stop. It was crazy. Something happened.
We're
kind
going
of a hit and run,
to die.
We're going. Yeah, that was me. Someone's gonna. There's gonna be a semi truck come right up and forget about it. You know. use us for brakes. You know. And I feel bad about it.
Or
but
brake fluid.
You know, if you're going 50, you're going 50, 60, 70 miles an hour, and you hit one of these small creatures. You know, I'm sorry. It's over with them. That was it.
Yep,
it's very bizarre.
You never know.
That was
it. Could have
like,
been playing. It could have been playing possum. You never know.
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
What? Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Well, two can play at that. There you go. Okay.
Good heavens.
The only thing with the coffin box is there are no. Volume controls on it, so it is what it is. But it's still fun. And I've got my own. Where's that? Where the heck are you? Oh, you're over here.
You're born the box.
I have way too many. Yeah, I've got way too many of these. Oh, you poor goat! I tell you.
Good heavens!
So, now I've got two different goats. It's good to have a goat.
You're not getting my goat.
That's not right. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
What we're getting is the end of this story.
Whole lot of radio.
Find out if they killed one of their mates or not.
Right. Whole lot of radio.
Whole lot of radio. A ton of it. It's stacked like several feet high of radio.
Whole lot of radio. Good to be back.
And on to the conclusion of the latecomer from Crisis.
On a foggy November night in 1947, my old flying comrade Neville Foote and I, Ian Roberts, had an unavoidable accident. Neville was driving when a young man suddenly stepped out of the fog directly in the path of the car, and before we could stop, it was too late. Now, barely half an hour later, I had learned who it surely was. Tony Greer, one of our own squadron mates. He had been walking to the reunion after his motorbike broke down. Neville had refused to report it for fear it might damage his chances in the law firm for which he worked. But now, career or no, he had to make a clean breast of it.
Neville. In a minute, Ian. So there I was. The barmaid recognized me as the same man.
Neville, I have to talk to you.
Ian, please, old man. Do be quiet while I finish the story.
I think it'll keep.
Look, excuse me, you chaps. I seems Robert says something urgent on his mind.
Walk over here with me. What the devil's wrong with you, Ian? Come over here, away from the crowd. All right, what is it? It's about tonight.
That is a closed subject.
Oh, no, it isn't.
What do you mean?
Let's go over it again.
I will not.
I want you to compare notes with me on what we saw.
And I'm telling you for the last time to put this whole thing out of your mind.
He was a young man. We were agreed on that, right?
I don't want to talk about it.
Well, you're going to talk about it.
Is that a threat?
Call it anything you like. I think I know who it was.
What did you say?
I think I know who it was. The old man asked me if we saw anyone walking along the lane on the way here. It seems one of the squadron had trouble with his motorbike, phoned he'd be coming on foot. That's why I wanted to go over what we remember about the man we hit. Now, we both caught a glimpse of his face.
I didn't.
Yes, you did. You knew he was wearing a cap. He had his face toward us for just an instant. Now shut your eyes and try to remember what he looked like.
I can't. I won't.
Does the name Tony Greer ring a bell?
Tony Greer?
That's who's missing from the reunion.
Greer.
He was in our flight, a navigator for Wheatley, if I'm not mistaken, before that. You knew him.
Well, what if I did?
Hawk says Greer rang him up from Kettering and said he'd been having trouble with his motorbike and that he'd walk the rest of the way. We passed Kettering about just 5 minutes before we had our accident.
Yes, but that still doesn't mean it was Greer.
But we saw no one else walking on that road, did we?
So, what do you want to do?
I want to telephone for the police and tell them exactly what happened. Look, you're the barrister, but I know enough about English law to know that if I'm in the car when the pedestrian is hit, I'm an accessory.
You're a material witness. No crime has been committed.
All right, a material witness. But if you don't report it, a crime will have been committed.
All right. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go on back to the place where it happened. We'll borrow torches from the old man. We can tell him we've lost something or want to check the car. We'll scour the area until we find whoever it was.
And we don't find him?
Don't be absurd. Of course we'll find him.
And when we do?
Then we'll make a proper report of the whole thing.
We borrowed a pair of electric torches from Commander Hart and drove out of the courtyard and back into the road. The fog had grown worse. We couldn't have been sure just where we'd seen the man. A mile away, we parked and got out. The fog lay heavy and wet on the fields and drifted through the trees beside the road. We moved together side by side, plowing through the thick grass and weeds until our feet and trousers were drenched. We found nothing. Then we took the other side of the road and did the same thing, and still turned up no sign that a man had been struck by a car. Small animals rustled away in tall grass, and I shivered with fright as much as with the cold. Finally, I was ready at last to give it up.
Not a trace, not a bloody clue. I'm ready to put it all down as an illusion.
But we know better, don't we?
Look, I'll be hanged if I'll confess to running over someone without the corpus delicti.
You made a pun, Footy, but they won't hang you.
Listen.
Police?
They're coming this way.
Yes, coming up from the direction of Kettering, wouldn't you say?
Get back in the brush.
Footy, in heaven's sake.
Don't let them see us.
Your car's parked in the road. They know something's up.
Oh, that's right.
What difference does it make now? You've already agreed to make a report about it anyway.
I know, but... Say, you're not slowing down.
On the way to Hedges. I think that's where we should be heading. Neville drove back to the old estate, and sure enough, the police car had drawn up in the courtyard. There were no sounds of merrymaking coming from the great hall now. The old mansion was silent as we walked up and rang the bell. When the door opened, the old man, Commander Hawk himself, was standing there.
Now, you're back.
Yes, sir.
Well, come in.
Thank you, sir.
Here are your torches, sir. Thank you very much.
And did you find what you were looking for out on the moor?
The moor?
Well, that's where you've been, isn't it?
Well, as a matter of fact...
As a matter of fact, I know what you're looking for now.
You do?
Yes, I do. I think you'd better come this way.
Sir, I'm going to make a full report to the police, but I want you to know personally...
You don't need to report to me, Foot. I know all about it.
We followed the old man down into the entry hall and into the drawing room. His shoulders had lost their military brace now. He seemed suddenly tired. His spirit gone. Neville shot me a glance filled with alarm and dread as Hawk opened the doors to the room and nodded for us to enter.
You will note, gentlemen, that our reunion now is complete. Tony Greer has been found.
Tony Greer?
Seated by the fireplace, encircled by the rest of the squadron, was a man. The circle parted and the man stood. His mackinaw was in tatters and a bruise covered most of his forehead. Others helped him to his feet and steadied him, and he took a halting step forward toward Neville and me.
Hey, chaps. I finally made it, didn't I? I'm sorry about the way I look.
Tony, then it was you. Oh, my God, I'm sorry.
Nothing for you to be sorry about.
You see, we got out and looked everywhere.
We even went back and looked again.
But in the fog,
think I understand what you're talking about.
But I do. And this is the time to clear up the confusion. Neville here and Roberts are about to make a confession. Am I correct, gentlemen? Tell us what you saw tonight on your way here.
We were driving along in the fog when suddenly a young man stepped right out in front of us, not over a mile from here. There was nothing I could do. I didn't have any idea who it was. Tony, we stopped, we went back, we looked everywhere.
We had no idea it was you.
Me? It wasn't me.
It wasn't you? Then how did you... What happened to you?
You recall that Tony telephoned me from Kettering?
Yes.
That he'd had trouble with his motorbike? Tell him what kind of trouble, Tony.
Well, I was riding along the road, the same road you were on, when suddenly this man jumped out in front of me.
What?
I swerved to miss him, lost control of the bike, landed in the ditch. When I got back on my feet, he was gone. Just like what happened to you. So I pushed the bike back to Kettering and phoned to tell the colonel I'd be a little late.
But then you saw the same man.
I must say, sir, this doesn't clear up the confusion. It makes it worse.
The man you both saw in Foote's car and the man Tony saw on his motorbike were one and the same.
Who is he?
Well, I'm sad to say he's a devoted relative of mine. He's been quite attentive of late. But I had no idea he would put in an appearance tonight of all nights. Yet I should have known. The man you have met on the lane from Kettering to the hedges, gentlemen, was my father.
Your father?
Yes, he inherited the hedges from my grandfather. And promptly ran himself several hundred thousand pounds into debt. And shortly after I left home for the flying service back in 1925, he decided to put an end to his difficulties by throwing himself under the wheels of the Northampton stage, which used this road for many years. And on some nights like these, especially, I think, when the hedge is as lively with young people as it is tonight, he returns. And he recommits his tragic act. Over, over, and over. I suppose he will be doing so for eternity. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll go and give my thanks to the constable for collecting Tony and bringing him here. Meanwhile, please let the reunion continue.
And there is our ghost story for tonight. In a minute, I'll be back with the names of our players and a few scenes from our next crisis attraction. Tonight, Crisis has presented The Late Comer with Jay Green, Albert Clark, Robert O. Smith, and Steve Hilliard. Sound created by Jeff Thompson, engineering by Carney Barton at Audio Recording Incorporated. Script and direction by yours truly, Jim French. The Late Comer was adapted for Crisis from an original concept by Albert Clark. Join us next week, won't you, for Crisis.
Ooh. Very scary.
Very scary. Very scary.
Finally! Eerie House Radio proudly presents Gar's actual moral of the story. Actual Gar.
You can try, but like in baseball, you can't hit what's not there.
Well, everybody,
I've been saving that flush for 3 weeks.
Heavens, I feel cleansed.
Do you?
Yeah.
Have you ever been, have either of you gentlemen ever been part of or witness to a hit and run?
The opossum thing.
I'm thinking here, I may see
no,
the
I mean,
car
it doesn't have to be
then.
Like a murder, like property damage
yeah.
or anything like that.
No, I may have seen a car bump a car and keep going, but there was never any damage.
I think that's about the worst I've seen, too, and nothing real serious. The serious stuff was involving me.
Years ago, at I think it was my job number 6,428, I think. We were to move around on an apartment complex, we were given a golf cart. And they have a brake, and they've got a gas pedal, sort of. And, you know, they don't have lights. They don't have a horn. You know, it's a golf cart. And I had a near miss with somebody once coming around a corner. I was like, oh, my goodness. Yeah.
That's one of those George Carlin things, though, that near miss. A near miss is, he said, George Carson, I don't understand. You have obviously near miss. A near miss is a hit, you know?
That's right. It's a near hit. That's right.
Yeah.
It
was a near hit, then it was a miss. But it was a near
hit. Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah.
I wish I had a few near misses more than I have had.
Wow.
And I had a lot, but that wasn't enough.
Well, see, and that's the other flip of the coin is we've been fortunate not to have too many and definitely not any fatal car crashes.
No. I know I've got at least one more to go.
I've had one. I rear-ended someone one time.
What was her name?
How was she cute?
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah.
What is
it's okay?
Wrong
you
with
weren't
us
paying
today?
For it. No.
What is
you.
Wrong with us?
And then I got
spleen,
hit.
Spleen.
Spleen, spleen, spleen,
spleen,
spleen,
spleen.
So,
spleen.
I got it. It's called like a T-bar or something like that, where you get hit in the side of the car.
T-bone. T-bone. Yeah.
T-bone. There we go. T-bone.
T-bone.
I got T-boned.
It's also the name of a rapper, I think.
I wouldn't doubt that.
And a darn good
spleen.
Thing.
Spleen, no.
Or a football player, I don't know.
Spleen!
Spleen.
Got T-boned one time, survived it. The car was a 1966 Chrysler product that weighed 5 billion tons, and it barely moved. The other people were driving a Plymouth fiberglass Roadrunner. Didn't fare so well. They hit me. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
The worst thing about surviving one of those, because I've been in some bad accidents, is hearing mm-hmm. that voice from the heavens that goes, damn.
Yeah. You're on our list, Garnet.
Close.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we'll get you next time.
Yeah. Hold on radio.
Whole lot of radio. Okay. Whole lot of gar.
Whole lot of radio.
We are so proud of Dave here at Erie House Radio and so many ventures you've been involved in. I mean, you're doing Weirdness Really Bad. You're doing Spaceship One. You're hanging around with some clown named Dale Kay and Gar the Ghoul.
Cool guys.
A little thing out of your past, Dave, tell us a little bit about Radio Stage.
Well, again, it's something I always wanted to do. The CBS Radio Mystery Theater wanted me to make my own radio dramas. I'd listen to them, but it was really the mystery theater that encouraged me. And if you listen to the way I tell the stories in there, they're very much the way the mystery theater will run. So I learned a lot of writing my stories that way. So when our station went from analog to digital, it was a perfect opportunity to be able to start recording some of these stories. And ended up doing about 30. I got John Drew and now I'm going to be mad. One of the guys, he's actually been on the show a couple of times here with us. And through the internet, I met them, and they submitted stories as well because I knew if I was going to do it monthly, which is what the plan was, I'd need some help. So, but really, I did write a majority of them. Out of about 30, John gave me 4, 7. And the other guy gave me about 3 of them. So about 10, two-thirds of them I wrote myself, as well as produced and cast and directed and edited and all the fun stuff that comes with it when you're on no budget that we have.
much like working here with me.
Much like Horrible Horror.
But,
wow.
But it was, yeah. All really in no budget. We got together and did it. You know, we'd do it all together. Generally, and I had a couple people tell, you know, this is just not the way it's done. Like a lot of places, they all record separately, then just put it together, where we all got together and did it at one time. So,
Well, old radio's a nod to that. They got together in one studio and bounced off each other. It was great.
Yeah,
like bumper cars.
Matter of fact, I went and I even got to see Hyman Brown. He did a fundraiser up at the Chicago Broadcast Museum Hall of Fame, And
was that the first time you saw Hyman?
Yes. Yeah, it was. Anyway, I did. He showed doing the rehearsal, then the stand-up rehearsal, and then they broke for lunch. They came back and they did it all in one run. You know, the story all in one run, and that's kind of what we did. Only because we were recording it, it gave us a chance to, you know, go back and do a line or so if we had to. But during the rehearsal, we actually recorded onto mini disc, and that way, if I needed to take a line from there, I could.
And this is what, maybe the third or fourth radio stage we've played here?
Yeah, it could be, yeah. And this is actually the fifth episode that we did.
I played the fifth.
So it could be third or fourth, but that's the fifth, yeah.
Yeah. This one's called Hit and Running. This one's called Hit and Running.
And it has been...
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Has an air date of February 16th, 1862. No, wait. Let me get my glasses. May 30th, 2000. How about that?
There we
Stories to tales of intrigue. We present WCRS Radio Stage. Please join us for this exercise of the imagination with radio drama. Today, a story by David Binkley. That sound tells us there's only 15 seconds till curtain time. So get comfortable in your chair as we go to Studio X and WCRS Radio Stage presents the story, Hit and Running. We are only able to do what our morals will allow. But every person has a different interpretation of what is morally acceptable and what is not. And a conscience is something that not everyone is blessed with. And for those without that inner voice to distinguish between right and wrong, anything is fair game, no matter what the consequences be to themselves or to someone else. But what of the person who has an overabundance of conscience and his life is haunted and ruled by fear and guilt? Guilt can be such a heavy burden to carry because you carry it wherever you travel until you're able to unburden yourself of it, if you can unburden yourself. Guilt for those is a prison stronger than any four walls made by man, and a prison for some from which there is no escape, ever.
It's so good to have you on board, Dr. Bosworth. No matter how many we have here, we always seem to be shorthanded.
Thanks for having me here.
You probably won't be thanking me half a year from now. This isn't the easiest place to take your first job, and I hope that you think about it when you dress for work tomorrow. Some of our residents can get excited very easily.
I can take care of myself.
You'll need to be able to in here. Some people around here are more like animals than humans.
How can you believe that and still be able to help them?
You can only help these people just so much. I don't believe that 15% of these people here could ever function properly in the outside world. Ever.
There have been a lot of new theories, medicines, and therapies in the last couple of years.
Look, I've worked here for 13 years, and I've been in charge for the last 7 of those. There was a time when I was young and idealistic as you are now, but you'll toughen up.
I don't know if I want to be toughened up.
You will. or else you'll end up just being a social worker in some welfare department handing out food stamps.
Why do you say that?
For every dozen of you that start out here from school, only about three make it, and that number may be high. You need to be a little more seasoned and perhaps a little more cynical.
Perhaps if people weren't so cynical, maybe more people could be helped. I'm sorry. I had no right to say that. But I believe I can help people. I guess that I'm not starting out on the right foot here.
No, I don't suppose that you are. But like I said, I once thought that I could make a difference, too. Anyway, it's nice to have some new blood in the mix. Just a second, please. Yes. All right. Keep him there for about 5 minutes and then send him in. Well, Dr. Bosworth, this is your last chance to run out of here with all your ideals left intact. Still feel like you can help.
You haven't been able to scare me off yet.
Good. I'm glad you're so sure of yourself, because you'll have to be that way to make it here. Now, don't get me wrong. I still don't think that the majority of those here can be helped, but it's nice to have someone on board who believes that they can. You can use my office for this visit. Yours is not quite ready yet. Coming in a minute will be Herman Farley. Here is his file.
Thank you.
I hate to throw you to the wolves so quickly, but it is time for his session, and I think he needs a new approach. Herman Farley is 52 years old, and he's been here with us for the last 6 years. I've got to admit that he's got the worst guilt complex that I have ever seen.
How many psychologists has he talked to?
4. And no one has been able to break through to him. Would you like to take a few minutes and read over his file?
No, thanks. I'll just let him talk while I take notes. I'll compare mine with the notes in his file later.
Very well then, Dr. Bosworth. Welcome to our little corner of the world. Come in. Come in, Herman.
Hello, Warden.
Herman, this is Dr. Bosworth.
Hello, Dr. Bosworth.
Hello, Herman. How are you today?
I'm okay.
You'll be having your session in here.
All right, Warden.
Doctor, he's all yours. I've got to go make my rounds. If you have any trouble, just press 9 on the phone, and security will be here in 90 seconds. But there won't be any trouble, will there, Herman?
No, Warden.
We have never had any problems with Herman, but it's nice to know help is just that close by. I'll be back in half an hour.
Come in and sit down, Herman.
Where would you like me to sit, Doctor?
Wherever you'll be comfortable. And please, call me by my first name, Laura.
If that's what you want, Doctor.
Laura.
Laura.
Where would you like to start?
I don't know. What do you want me to say?
I don't want you to say anything you don't want to.
Oh, I see.
Why don't you tell me why you're here? You do know why you're here, don't you, Herman?
Because I did it, that's why.
Because you did what?
You should know. I'm sure you have a file on me somewhere around here.
Oh, yes, I have your file here, but I would much rather hear what you have to say.
But I've been over it so many times already.
True, but you've never gone over it with me.
I don't know why I should have to talk to you.
If you don't talk to me, then I won't be able to help you.
You can't help me. No one can help me.
I would like to try and help you, if you let me. Don't you want to go home?
Home? Huh. Now there's a laugh. I can't ever leave this place. I can never go home. There's no home to go to.
You must have a home somewhere. After all, you are wearing a wedding band.
I don't know why I still wear this. I don't really have a wife anymore.
Did she divorce you?
No, but she should.
Does she ever come to see you?
She used to come every week, but now she barely comes at all.
Did she tell you why she doesn't come anymore?
Oh, she would come if I would see her. But I won't see her.
Why won't you see her?
I did see her once since I've been here. Just once.
What happened?
I couldn't stand the way she looked at me. All I could see in her eyes was pity. Since that time, I've refused to see her.
Look, why don't you start from the beginning of your story?
Oh, it takes so much out of me.
Please, from the beginning.
I really don't want to relive it again.
It looks like you have been living this every day for the last 6 years.
Yes, I believe I have.
So then, why don't we start from the beginning?
The beginning. The beginning of the end.
The end of what?
The end of his life and in a way, of mine.
When did this start, Herman?
It was May, and a particularly warm one at that. I remember because I hadn't even taken a windbreaker with me. In reality, I shouldn't have even gone because I was exhausted. I'd spent the last 3 weeks doing a huge project at work.
Why did you go then?
Because it was time for another bust meeting.
What's a bust meeting?
Bust. That's a group we started in college. The Byron University Student Technocrats. We started this as a group of juniors to give us an excuse to go out drinking, chasing women, and swapping lies about all the girls we never slept with. Not that we really needed an excuse to do all that. It's what we would have done individually anyway.
How many were in your group?
We started with 7, and eventually it became about 12 members. Of course, after graduation, most of us went about our separate ways. You know, moving to where their jobs took them. We got down to 5 remaining members who stayed within driving range, so we decided to meet every first Monday of each month at Bubba's Bar, the place we used to hang out at when we were supposed to be in class.
So when this thing happened, it was time for another meeting of Bust? But if you were so tired, then why did you go?
Oh, because of bylaw number 2.
Bylaw number 2?
Yeah. That's the rule that forces the member not in attendance to be responsible for the whole bar tab for that night's meeting.
A little old for drinking games, weren't you?
Yeah, and God was a little old to be hitting on virgins, but he did anyway.
What are you doing here, Herman? You seem to have things in hand.
I'm here because I did it. I killed a man. Why else would I be here?
I'm sorry. I interrupted your story.
Interrupt all you want. Maybe I won't have to finish it then.
You can't run away from yourself forever.
You can run away, but you can't hide. Not for long, anyway. They'll find you. I ran, and they found me. Ghosts of your memory will always be there to haunt you.
So you went to your bust meeting?
Yes, I went. And I really did need to be there. It was the first time in weeks that I'd been able to relax. Then about 1:15 in the morning...
Would you look at the butt on that waitress?
Hey, I have been all night long. And the more I drink, the better she looks.
Hey, watch it, Ron. You've already been divorced 3 times. You want to go for 4?
I never said I wanted to marry the woman. Is there any woman you wouldn't want to take to bed, Ron?
Janet Reno.
Well, I don't know. Depends on what she looks like in leather.
Just take it from me. An ex-wife can take everything you own, but she can't take away your fantasies.
Hey, mine sure tried, though. Her lawyer tried to write it into the divorce decree.
Well, all I know is if I don't head home real soon, I'll be the next one of us in divorce court.
I would think after 22 years of marriage that she would relish a little time away from you. 22 years, huh? My, how time flies when you're getting old.
Yeah, and I've got the gray hairs to prove it. Believe me, I've earned every one of these gray hairs.
Well, at least you got hair to turn gray. Haven't you heard, man? Bald is in. Yeah, if you play for the NBA... Which I don't.
Well, gentlemen, and I use the term loosely, it's about time to be heading home while I still have one.
Stick around for one more round. It's only 1:30.
Is that bar time or real time?
That's bar time, so it's only 1:15.
That's right. We must not forget bylaw 11.
Gentlemen, I propose a toast. To bust. Both kinds.
To bust!
Bylaw 11?
That's the rule that requires us to stay until we're asked to leave in one form or another. Usually that means closing time.
So did you stay for one more round?
I stayed for one more round, and then one more after that. When the bartender called for last round, I made a quick exit. I realized I'd had a bit too much to drink. I stood in the cool night for a minute just to take in the fresh air. For a moment, I considered going in and calling a cab. But I wasn't really drunk, just a little bit tipsy. I made my way over to my car and I got in. I pulled out onto Cherrywood Avenue and was thinking only about my bed that was 4.5 miles away, just calling my name. I'd gotten about 1/4 mile down the road when I realized how lightheaded I felt. I drank a lot more before on other nights. Being so tired and having a light dinner was really taking a toll on me. So I decided to take the back roads home, and I made a left onto West End Road.
so West End Road has less traffic.
West End Road is kind of an industrial parkway. By day, it carries a pretty good volume of traffic, but by night, it's practically deserted. If it wasn't for private security for the businesses located along the strip and a couple of bars, they might as well padlock the road shut.
So by this time, you're aware that you shouldn't have been driving.
Oh, yeah. West End Road is no shortcut. Took me about 2 miles out of my way, but I knew I'd be a lot less likely to run into problems. I couldn't believe how difficult it was to keep my eyes open. I rolled down my window so that the cool night air would hit me in the face. I just couldn't remember ever having been that tired before in my life. I reached down and turned on my radio.
Still Love Me Tomorrow was the first of two number one hits for the Shirelles. This one topped the charts back in 1961. That was also the first number one hit for the songwriters Carole King and Jerry Goffin. Next up, a number one from Nancy Sinatra. These boots are made for walking. It's 1:47 here on Q103.4 on a number one hit Monday night.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love, but confess. You've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin'.
I didn't care for that song any more that night than I did in 1966. I couldn't find a station, so I looked down at the radio and I hit something. I slowly got out of my car, and I went around to the front to look at the dent in my hood. Oh, that's when I looked up, and I saw a man lying in the street about 30 feet away. His body was barely lit up by the street lamp. If I was tired and drunk before, I certainly was awake and sober by then. I stared at the body as it lay in the street bleeding. I thought about running over and trying to help him. Then I thought about my wife and my son. Mostly, I thought about myself. I saw what looked like headlights coming from back behind me, and fear raced through me. So I got in my car, and I ran.
And he ran and ran and ran. Hello, Nancy Sinatra.
And no, I didn't clear it with Ask It.
I don't know what to talk about.
Oh, well.
So interesting. Yep. We got a guy that's got like serious guilt issues, but maybe there's something of a reason here.
Yeah.
Just
by
maybe.
His story, yeah.
Yep,
by his
yep.
story, yeah.
But
talk about
wait,
dead
there's
right.
more.
Hello. But there's more.
We'll get to that.
Wait, there's yeah. Yep. I did not write this from personal experience, by the way.
Uh-huh. Sure,
I mean,
okay.
Maybe driving a little tipsy and rolling down the window, let the window to the wind splash me in the face and running the radio, trying to find something to keep. But you know, besides that, yeah.
My lawyers have advised me to keep silent at this point.
Oh, okay. I've done that trick. It wasn't with drinking. It was just I was getting a little bit tired driving. Rolled down that window. That helped a lot.
Oh, hey, try it in January in Ohio. Woohoo!
Yeah.
That'll clear
yeah, then you got to... Yeah, you got to spend the next hour plucking bugs out of your teeth, probably. I don't know.
Or icicles.
Not in January. Not in January.
Oh, not in January. Oh, January.
Yeah, that cold will wake you up, like, right quick.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was traveling somewhere, and it was that cold. It was weird because I still had the heater on because it was really cold outside, but I rolled that window down, and it helped the driving.
Yep.
It can save a life. That's all my lawyers will let me say.
That's all they'll let you say. That's good.
Yes. God bless them.
They're there for your protection.
That's
just like those
protecting
seat belts.
You sometimes.
Just like those seat belts.
Yep. Wait till I tell elk and moose that they're like a seatbelt.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, you know, I hear they're not so fond of seatbelt laws. So, you know.
Now, in Ohio, do you guys, I know in Canada there are moose, and up along the American-Canadian border there's moose. Do you have moose?
Moose.
Yeah, do you have those in Ohio?
We have no moose in Akron, Ohio.
May have dated some in high school there, but
that's a whole nother story.
She was hideous, let me tell you. Oh well.
Yeah. No, we have a lot of deer. We have a lot of deer. We don't have any elk and moose. Deer and cows. Cows.
Yeah. Lots of cows, especially my way.
Lots of cows.
Yeah. We have
When you have a zip code like Dale's, you got to have cows.
Yeah, EIEIO.
Mm-hmm.
That's our zip code.
Yep.
Well, aren't cows really good at manicuring the lawn? Isn't that no?
I would think that's their job. I don't know. I don't have any direct experience, but yes, I see them grazing often.
Yeah.
Especially now, they like it. It's cool. They get out. It's getting cooler here in Ohio.
It's getting cooler, yeah. In the evenings.
Yeah.
Which I like.
In the good old
evenings, time,
yeah.
Get the fire going.
I mean, it just... Cows blow my mind. Imagine, you can't do anything about it, but you're this huge animal, and all you got is grass to eat. Wow.
And that's because you are future food.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Are cows, I mean, they're a prey animal, but are they skittish? I can't remember if they are or not. I don't know.
I think. I don't know. I think. Yeah,
if you've ever met a cattle prod, you'll know they're not skittish.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And naturally, the males are more aggressive.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, they can be very aggressive, so. It just looked like
Did you ever go cow tipping, Dale?
No. No,
I
don't.
I went once, but I didn't know.
They get enough minimum wage. I am not tipping a cow. There's just no way.
I was going to say, I didn't know what the proper percentage was, so,
They get that real high. You know what? If they were working for that lower, like some servers do, they get paid so low, they have to get tips.
Right.
And the arrangement,
exactly.
Yeah, so, all right. Let's wrap up Hit and Running, shall we? From WCRS radio stage.
Yep, exciting conclusion.
Yeah, I want to see what happens to Captain Paranoid here as we continue with Hit and Running.
You just left him there? Didn't you try to help him?
What could I do to help? I'm not a doctor.
But what if he was just hurt? Did you go call for help?
No, I was afraid they could trace my call or my voice or something. I wasn't thinking straight. No, I really wasn't thinking at all. I just ran away, and I've been running ever since. Mostly from myself. How did Shakespeare put it? A coward dies 1,000 times? Or something like that. By this time, I was already working on my third death. When I finally made it home, I opened the garage door and looked around. My son's car was gone, so he wouldn't be able to say when I got in. But how was I going to hide the dent in my car hood so they wouldn't know? I decided the best way to disguise the dent was to masquerade it. So I aimed the car at the corner of the garage and hit it in the exact spot where the dent from the body had been. Then I backed the car up again and drove into the garage and parked it. Then I got out of the car. Before I closed the garage door, I looked around to see if any of the neighbors' lights were on, and maybe if they could have seen me come in. I didn't see anything but dark houses. The only thing I heard was the stillness of the night. I closed the garage door and I went into the house. I went to the desk that the telephone sits on in the dining room and sorted the mail. I tore up the junk mail without even looking at it. And when I came across an envelope from my insurance agent, I opened it up. Dear Mr. Farley, due to your safe driving record, we're pleased to announce that your insurance premiums will be lowered by 5% your next renewal date in September. It's drivers like you that keep our customers' premiums low and our city streets a safer place to be. Thanks for your patronage. Justin Smithers, Countrywide Insurance. So I make our city streets a safer place to be, do I? Well, congratulations to me. I went upstairs and I got ready for bed. All the while, I'm thinking of the man I hit. Maybe he wasn't dead. I hadn't been driving that fast. Maybe he was just hurt or knocked unconscious. After all, I hadn't gotten close enough to see if he really had been bleeding or not. Maybe he would be all right. Maybe everything would be better when I got up in the morning. I got in bed next to my wife, who was sound asleep, and I tried to convince myself of all those thoughts as I drifted off into an uneasy sleep. How many times do I have to relive this?
No more!
Help me!
What?
Help me!
What can I do?
Don't do it!
Don't do what?
Don't leave me here to die.
Are you going to die?
Yes, I'm going to die because you left me here to die.
Who are you? Your voice sounds familiar, but I can't quite place it.
Yes, you do know me.
Let me see your face in the light so I know who you are.
No, you will know who I am soon enough. They are coming for you, Herman. They're almost here now, Herman.
No! I don't want to get caught!
It's too late, Herman. They are here for you now.
No! There's someone at the door. Oh, who could be pounding on the door at 3:17 in the morning? Unless they're here for me. Just like he said in the dream. Well, I better let them in. I'm coming. I'm coming.
Mr. Farley?
Yes.
Mr. Herman Farley?
Yes. What is it, officer?
Mr. Farley, I'm afraid you'll have to come with me.
Yes, I know.
No, I'm afraid you don't, sir.
What do you mean?
Well, there was an accident on West End Road.
And what has that to do with me?
It doesn't have anything to do with you at all.
Then just what are you doing here?
It's because... Well, I'm sorry to tell you this, Mr. Farley, but it's about your son.
Bobby? This is about Bobby?
He was leaving the tavern on West End when he was struck by a car.
Bobby? Bobby was hit by a car?
Yes, sir. Nobody saw or heard anything.
Nobody saw anything?
No, sir. His friends found him when they were leaving about a half an hour after he left the tavern.
Bobby? Bobby was killed?
Yes, sir, but he needn't have died.
What do you mean he needn't have died?
He was still alive when his friends found him. If they would have found him 15 minutes earlier, they probably could have saved his life.
He could have lived?
Yes, if only someone who had found him sooner, or if a person who hit him had gotten help right away. Unfortunately, with no eyewitnesses, it will be very difficult to trace the car that hit him.
Bobby is dead?
You see, sir, that's why I need you to come with me. He had his identification on him, so we know who he is. But we still need a positive identification from a member of the family.
Not Bobby. It couldn't be Bobby.
So if you'd put your clothes on and come with me, Mr. Farley.
Bobby? Not Bobby. Anyone but Bobby.
Herman?
Not Bobby!
Herman?
Is everything all right in here?
Herman, it's okay.
I see you got Herman to tell you his story.
Can I go back to my cell now?
Yes, Herman. I think you've had enough for today.
Thank you, Warden.
Not at all, Herman.
I'll look in on you later, Herman. It's strange that he thinks that you are some sort of warden, Dr. Anson.
Oh, not really. He has committed a crime, and as punishment, he visualizes that he is in jail. And since I'm the head of the mental hospital, he sees me as the prison warden.
Being responsible for the death of his son, I can see why he has such a strong guilt complex and why it would be so difficult to break through.
No, you don't, Dr. Bosworth. You see, he didn't do it.
You mean his son didn't die?
Oh, yes, his son was hit and killed by a hit-skip driver. And his son's life could have been saved if he had been found at least 15 minutes earlier.
Then how can you be sure that he didn't hit his son?
Because he wasn't even in town when his son was hit and killed.
What?
Remember that three-week project he had been working on?
Yes.
Well, he was in Chicago presenting that project to a client when he received the news of his son's death. He feels that if he had been home, none of this ever would have happened. That is why he has a guilt complex.
Gang, the next one will really cheer you up. Screaming in the night.
Today's program featured Joe Calley as Herman, Barb Bruno as Dr. Bosworth, and Don Johnston as Dr. Anson. Also appearing, Brad Vincent, Kurt Weitendorf, Walt Markowski, Rick Rollins, Joe Cleon, David Binkley, and David Crawford.
Yay!
Hit and Running was written by David Binkley.
Yay!
Original music was written and performed by David Crawford.
Yay! Woo!
Theme music for WCRS Radio Stage was written by David Crawford and Tom Holman. WCRS Radio Stage is produced in Akron, Ohio by David Binkley and David Crawford.
Yay!
I'm your host, Joe Calley, asking you to join us the next time we open the curtain on WCRS Radio Stage.
David Binkley by Mr. and Mrs. Binkley.
Yes. There we go, folks. There we go.
Well, there's only one thing to go from here. Perry House Radio proudly presents another fine version of Gar's Moral of the Story. Oh, hey.
Please.
Every death deserves a funeral, even a made-up one.
There
you go. There you go.
Eeny, meeny, chili, beeny, the spirits are about to speak.
Yes, they are.
There we go. Good old Bowie.
Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my mouth. What is that? Yeah.
So hopefully our next story is much more cheerful in nature.
It's okay till the end. It's okay till the end.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah.
Right, Char? Sure. It's okay till the end, right? Without giving away anything?
No.
Yeah, we're not giving away anything. No,
we just...
There you go.
We're just getting you ready for our next installment
It'll leave you in stitches.
Yeah, we're talking some serious CBS radio workshop.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's dedicated to man's imagination, the CBS radio workshop. Mm-hmm.
And lots of it.
Where's that guy? Yes.
Oh, this a nice cheerful title, too. Grief drives a black sedan.
Mm-hmm.
I think I didn't know they had Ubers back then.
Yeah. Just there don't think this is going to be a real knee slapper, you know?
Well, it's somebody else's knees. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Well, let's,
and you have a sledgehammer. Yeah.
Let's get a broadcast date and get a rolling with the time ticking away for Grief Drives a Black Sedan from CBS Radio Workshop. Originally broadcast way back in
September 1st, 1957.
You betcha.
We never say circa. How come we never say circa?
I don't know what that means.
Oh. I was thinking I'm glad we're going home, Roger. I hope this summer has given us both ample time to think this thing out.
Well, actually, darling, we have too much invested in this marriage. 10 years cannot be dispelled by one summer.
Well, that isn't exactly what I meant. Let's listen to the radio, shall we?
I hope we've had an end to this sulking and...
What was that, Roger? Felt like we hit something.
Nonsense, I ran off the road.
Oh, Roger, please, slow down. Roger, listen. Sounds like a woman screaming. Oh, please, please, let's go back. I'm sure you've hit something.
I didn't hear anything, Kay. I'm sure we didn't hit anything. This is the CBS Radio Workshop, the theater of the mind dedicated to man's imagination. Our story, Grief Drives a Black Sedan, stars Alice Frost and Lee Vines, written, produced, and directed by D. Engelbach. Okay, none of your hysterics now, please.
I'm sure we must...
Oh, just be quiet.
You realize how fast you were going?
Yes, officer. I was going 40 miles an hour, and that doesn't really seem like an excessive amount of speed to me.
It is in a 25-mile zone. Although you can't see it from the road, this area is quite thickly populated. There are always children about. Can I see your driver's license?
Hey, Tom.
Mm.
Look here a moment.
Okay.
Roger,
Kay, there's nothing these state police would rather do than to stop a car with a New York state license. And I was only going 40 miles an hour.
I'm afraid it's more serious than that.
More serious than what?
Move over, please.
Say, what's all this about?
I'm taking you to the police barracks in Westport.
What have we done, officer?
That's for you to tell me, madam. You see, your front left fender is dented.
Is that a crime in this state?
We'll have to find out. You see, around that dent is blood.
Captain, I'd like to see you in his office.
I come along, Roger.
No, darling, you stay out of this. I'll find out what this is all about.
Roger, remember.
Stay out of this. I'll be back in a moment.
Sit down, please. You are Roger Wickens, 25 Park Plaza Road, New York City?
Yes, I am.
What's this all about?
I'm returning your driver's license and your car registration. We've checked the New York police. You've not had any previous accident record. What happened tonight, Mr. Wickens?
What do you mean, what happened? I drove up here from New York City to take my wife home. She's been summering up here, and that's all there is to it. And I want you to stop treating me like a criminal. I was driving down Cross Highway when the police stopped me for driving 40 miles an hour.
Excuse me. Yes. Yeah. Well, keep checking. Check every hospital within 25 miles. When you finish that, check all the doctor's residents in the vicinity. Send someone to retrace Cross Highway. Yes. Well, I think you'll find somewhere, not too far from where the Wickens car was stopped, some blood stains and possible pieces of glass. Report back as soon as possible. Yes, who? Oh, Doc's out there. We'll send him in.
Captain, what about this? Are we under arrest?
Well, there are two ways we can do this. We can technically arrest you for driving 40 miles an hour in a 25-mile zone. Or of your own volition, you can wait until all these things check out. Look, I think you're in trouble. I think you've hit somebody and run away from the accident.
Of all the stupid things that I've ever heard of, I've...
Oh, hello. Hello, Captain. Okay, what is it? Oh, excuse me.
Hello, Doc. Well, what will it be, Mr. Wickens?
I'll wait. What about my wife?
Well, she'd better wait, too.
He seems rather touchy.
Yeah. Doc, why don't you take some blood samples, run through the lab, report back to me as soon as you can. I believe this is a case of hit and run. I want to have all my facts.
Another no-cooperation guy, huh?
That's right, Doc. They never learn, do they?
Cigarette?
Thanks, Charlie. Roger, did you tell them?
Tell them what?
Oh, please, darling. Remember when we ran off the road, I told you I thought I heard a woman scream.
Kay, I did not hear a woman scream, and I did not hit anything. This is all a fantastic nightmare. It seems it started when you came up here. There was no reason for all of this. We should have gone to Europe this summer and behaved like two mature people. 10 years of marriage, and we're still trying to figure out whether or not it will work.
It's not going to work, Roger. I believe this was all for a reason tonight. I believe we're both in trouble.
Nonsense.
Roger, we must share that responsibility.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Kay, what responsibility?
The blood on the fender.
Hello. Yes. You found what? Where? Bayberry Lane. Let me get this down now. Bayberry Lane and Cross Highway. Yeah, I'm a regular Sherlock Holmes. How'd I know what? Never mind about that. No one at the house, huh? Well, you stay there. Keep calling in. No, Doc's still working. There's nothing to report here. Wickens denies everything. Okay, stay with it. Ryan.
You want me to send out for some coffee?
Oh, no, thank you.
Well, it's past midnight. Eddie and Joanne said they would wait at the Maroc until 1. What a wonderful homecoming party this turned out to be.
Well, you win the Superficiality Award for the year. Eddie and Joanne, the Maroc, the whole stupid, silly pattern. Roger, don't you realize you may have killed someone tonight?
Kay, let's stop this bickering, this hammering at each other. I did not hit anyone tonight. Now, starting with that premise, let's see if we can discuss intelligently our own problems.
This is not the time nor the place. Actually, Roger, there is no problem. I'm leaving you. I don't blame you, Roger. I really don't know whose fault it is. Perhaps it's mine.
Oh, no. No, no, it's mine. All I've ever done was given in to every little whim you ever had.
Have you, Roger? Oh, yes. You've given me things. Money. A beautiful home. And, oh, so much loneliness. What good are possessions? Oh, I know this sounds trite and very cliché. But I'm tired, Roger. We've failed. I don't know whose fault it is. I don't know where we really started to grow apart. I just want out.
Well, darling, as usual, your timing is superb. I'm up to my neck in trouble because of you.
Oh, please. No more of the comparisons. No more recriminations. Until we know what's happened here, let's just wait. Wait. Wait.
Yes, Tom. You did. A signed statement. Feels pretty bad, huh? Yeah. What about the charges? Mine does. Hold it a minute, Tom. Paul, have Doc call me. Yes, Tom, you were saying? Hit about 10 o'clock. Dead, huh? Too bad. Yeah, right. Doc, drop your test. We have all we want. Okay, Tom, get back here as fast as you can. Right. Paul, bring that Wiggins guy in here.
Roger, why don't you ask the captain if they found out anything?
Yes, I guess you're right. I will. Mr. Wickens?
Yes.
Officer, what have you found out?
Mr. Wickens, the captain wants to see you.
Right.
It off? Can you forget it? 10 years and you look at someone, and that someone you've known for 10 years, and you realize, oh, this night, this long night, what have we done? 10 years. 10 whole years. What do you do with memories? Just lock them in a safety deposit box? Or do you tie them up neatly in pink ribbons and burn them? What do you do with plans? Those blueprints for the future? And what do you do with love? The community property of love, split down the middle, and shared by no one. 10 years. 10 years. 10 years. sorry, darling. I must have dozed off.
Yes, about an hour. Don't be sorry. I needed the time to think. Kay, I must talk to you.
Oh, haven't we had enough talk for one night?
Just a bit more patience, darling. Cigarette?
Roger, for heaven's sake, what's happened?
Kay, I must tell you this in my own way. And for whatever love you once had for me, please hear me out.
And you're going to have to wait to hear him out after just a little bit longer.
Yep. What you got to do? That's what you're going to do. Yep.
Pretty insensitive guy so far.
Yep,
so far.
I like him.
So far.
I like him.
I mean, if you've got blood on your vehicle, you did something. And he's in absolute denial.
Yeah.
Maybe he cut himself shaving.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, yeah, maybe someone ran up and wiped blood on his vehicle.
That's right.
He was framed. He was framed.
By someone with a bucket of blood. Yeah.
Could be a name for a song. I like that. Maybe you could have a guy with a Latino accent sing it. That'd be kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
How
about Weird Al Yankovic? I think he could pull it off.
Yeah, he could.
He can pull off anything. That guy is just amazing.
Mine was a Cheech Marin reference there.
Ah, yes. Weird Al Yankovic created a song about Charles Nelson Reilly that Dave adores.
That's funny. Yes, that's
a
funny.
A song about Charles Nelson Reilly.
And the video that goes with it is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
The mind boggles.
Yeah. Well, you can... In your spare time, you can go dig that up, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Wild horses couldn't stop me.
Yeah. Dave saw it on Horrible Heart, and he was like, Gar, what is this? Please send me this. I need this. And I was like, okay, sure.
That's
must
right. Have, I was too lazy to go to
must have.
I was too lazy to go to the YouTubes to get it myself. Yep.
Yeah. No, it was fine. I was glad to discover it. Bring
Dave,
it to
you, and, you, Dave, you and Lazy don't go together.
I know. Hard as
well, we did
man,
for a while. But
it's
it
like
it
water
didn't,
and oil.
It
doesn't. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Maybe Bizarro World Dave is lazy. Now that's
okay.
possible.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
In Bizarro World.
Yeah.
But whatever happens in Bizarro World stays.
Yeah. Stays in Bizarro World.
Yes.
Bizarro World. Spleen.
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 Spleen. It's our
safe word. Spleen.
You're just tuning in. That's our safe word of the night. Spleen.
Yeah. Tune in tomorrow night. There'll be a new word.
Yeah.
That's right.
It should be. We could make a whole.
And even more safety. Yeah, there you go.
I was thinking tomorrow's word should maybe be jocular. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Yeah. There you go.
Why is it about sports?
Spleen.
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 Somebody got some spleen in the room around here.
Spleen.
Lucy, let me spleen.
Lucy got some spleening to do.
She got some spleening to do, man.
Yes, she does.
In which case, Lucy just went very blue. Okay, that's what happened. Yeah. Yep. Wow.
Blue?
So, yeah, this guy is apparently
face.
Something's happened, and he's not fessing up to it. He refuses
right.
to.
But.
Yeah.
But could we'll be his out. Coming to God moment. You
spleen?
Never know.
You never
spleen.
Know. Let's find out.
Spleen. Or he might need a spleen. Yeah.
Yes. or a spleen operation. Let's find out with the return and completion of Grief Drives a Black Sedan from CBS Radio Workshop.
Get your hankies out. Here we go.
In my own way. And for whatever love you once had for me, please hear me out. I want you to know...
Oh, Roger, please.
I want you to know this is no plea for any kind of sympathy. I know, Kay, why our marriage failed. You see, believe me, this isn't easy. I know I'm a coward. Tonight, I did hit something. More than that, I took a life.
Roger, no.
Please, darling, let me finish this. All my life, I've been hitting and telling myself that I didn't hit. All my life, I've been running away. All my life, I've been a coward. I wonder how much I've lost in love, respect, friendship. I wonder how much of myself has been sacrificed so carelessly, so needlessly, because I didn't take time to stop and go back to pick up that which I had hit. You see, darling, I guess I've always been driving 40 miles an hour in a 25-mile zone. And the ironical part about this whole thing is that the police were not going to arrest me for speeding, but merely warned me to take it easy. I guess maybe help of any kind has always made me angry, and truth always hurt my ears.
Roger, darling, would you please...
I know I killed tonight. Needlessly. Carelessly. And, Kay, I want you to hear this letter the captain just gave me. And I want you to know, darling, that no more do I blame everybody else for my emptiness. To the man who killed my dog. I hope you were going someplace important when you drove so fast down Cross Highway across Bayberry Lane tonight. I hope that when you got there, the time you saved by speeding meant something to you or somebody else. Maybe we'd feel better if we could imagine that you were a doctor rushing somewhere to deliver a baby or ease somebody's pain. The life of our dog to shorten someone's suffering, that mightn't have been so bad. But even though all we saw of you was the black shadow of your car and its jumping red taillights as you roared down the road, we know too much about you to believe it. You saw the dog. You stepped on your brakes. You felt a thump. You heard a yelp and then my wife's scream. Your reflexes are better than your heart and stronger than your courage. We know that. Because you jumped on the gas again and got out of there as fast as your car could carry you. Whoever you are, mister, and whatever you do for a living, we know you are a killer. And in your hands, driving the way you drove tonight, your car is a murder weapon. You didn't bother to look, so I'll tell you what the thump and the yelp were. They were Vicky, a 6-month-old Basset puppy, white with brown and black markings. An aristocrat with 12 champions among her 4 bears. But she clowned and she chased and she loved people and kids and other dogs as much as any mongrel on earth. I'm sorry you didn't stick around to see the job you did, though a dog dying by the side of the road isn't a very pretty sight. In less than 2 seconds, you and that car of yours transformed a living being that had been beautiful, warm, clean, soft, and loving into something dirty, ugly, broken, and bloody. A poor, shocked, mad thing that tried to sink its teeth into the hand it had nuzzled and licked all its life. I hope to God that when you hit my dog, you had for a moment the sick, dead feeling in the throat and down to the stomach that we've known ever since. And that you feel it whenever you think about speeding down a winding country road again. Because the next time some 8-year-old boy might be wobbling along on his first bicycle, or a very little one might wander out past the gate and into the road the moment it takes his father to bend down to pull a weed out of the driveway. The way my puppy got away from me. Or maybe you'll be real lucky again and only kill another dog and break the heart of another family. Signed, Richard Joseph, Westport, Connecticut. Well, Kay, that's it. No charges. No arrests. No.
Roger. Oh, darling. Please. Let's go home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the governor of the state of New York, Averill Harriman.
Thoughtlessness and irresponsibility go hand in hand and cause far too many tragedies on our highways. The thoughtless driver who ignores traffic regulations, hoping to get away with it, hides behind the idea, no witness, no crime. But too often, this leads down a road of final accounting. Only by constant care, courtesy, and observance of the rules of the road can you be sure of avoiding the day when grief drives your car and brings tragedy to your family or that of another. The streamlined, high-powered automobiles of today demand of us the same intelligence and care in handling that has gone into their design. This weekend and in the future, I appeal to everyone to drive carefully, drive safely, assure a happy holiday for all.
You've been listening to the CBS Radio Workshop, Grief Drives a Black Sedan, written by D. Engelbach. A letter to the man who killed my dog is from the book of the same title, written by Richard Joseph and published by Frederick Fell. Today's cast: Alice Frost, Lee Vines, Ralph Bell, Bill Mason, Larry Haynes, Jay Johnson. Next week from Hollywood, People Are No Good. Ted Pearson speaking.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
That was powerful stuff right there, Dave.
Powerful, yes. What a terrible way to get makeup sex.
Oh, jeez.
Spleen! 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 Spleen!
Spleen!
So So this is how I escape the moment. Erie House Radio probably resents Scar's moral of the story.
This one hurts. It's a dog's life until it isn't.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
I have no sound effect for that.
No, no.
Or, do I?
Oh, God. Well, no, you've got your closing music. Go for it.
You do, yeah. You got the song there.
You're not going to do it?
Yeah. Long ago and far away, while working as a nightclub DJ, I would often try to drive people out of the bar by playing really weird stuff. It backfired. People would love ridiculous stuff like...
Dead puppy. Dead puppies. Dead puppies aren't much fun.
Guy named Stephen Lynch. He's a madman.
They don't come when you call. They don't chase squirrels at all. Dead puppies aren't much fun.
As a dog owner, I can only take so much.
Yeah, and Dale had no idea how this... Dale actually had no idea how this
show
ended. And then
I cringed when you did it.
And I'm wondering why these characters are laughing at me.
Right. Yeah. Well, everything is context, you know? Everything is context.
Yeah.
Everything is context. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
And unfortunately for this, I'm still not over the death of two of my dogs, and they've been gone a while. So this was a rough one. I've been thinking about it all day. Kind of a rough day.
Yeah.
Well, you guys know the only show I ever missed. You know why the only show I ever missed was?
Yeah.
So yeah, not either.
We do love our animals here on this show. We do.
We do, the reason we love them is because they expose to us so much soul, if you want to call it that, so much life within them, and they become so much a part of us. They share with us so much, and so when they go. And I guess some people don't understand that, it's rough.
Yeah, critters are cool. They're good people. Let's put it that way.
I've had the opportunity than most people.
Yeah.
Yes, agreed.
Yep. I've had the opportunity to run across a gamut of many different types of animals, and they all have that one quality where it's an opportunity, it's an experience, it's I can't think of the right word, it's an honor that they share who and what they are with us.
Yeah
Although mine
is getting really go ahead.
No, I just say mine were all strays, and this one here that is laying on my desk halfway on top of my keyboard is one that was abandoned outside, and he adopted me. He adopted me, my little orange buddy, Tigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to have a Tigger, and he was an orange tabby, and he was hilarious. Yep. I lost him in a divorce. Go figure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I told you not to play poker for your divorce papers. I told you that, Jar.
I know.
I don't know how I'd handle that in a divorce. I am way too attached to this dog. And he's spoiled rotten.
I rolled over like a dead possum or a possum playing possum, just to make it go away, the whole problem. And so I had to, there were many things I acquiesced, and it was like, well, you know, yes. And so
it's like a coyote caught in a trap, right? Chewing your leg off to
go away. Yeah, you want to chew off your own foot, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So I know that Tigger enjoyed a long and healthy life. It's just I wasn't there, and that's the only Yeah, so.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Oh, this spoiled brat that I have now has learned how to moan. It is hilarious.
He was moaning?
Oh.
He was beeping and now he's moaning.
He's extremely vocal. Lots of sound. Collies are kind of like that for the most part. They're quite expressive.
Why is he moaning? What is the? Because
I'm not playing them when he wants to, or I'm not paying attention to him when he wants to. Yeah, he's funny.
Wow. Okay, that's crazy.
He is hilarious, and he's spoiled.
Yeah,
and he's crazy. He's learning what his little sounds, what kind of reactions he's going to get.
Right, and then he'll keep doing them. You know, the more impact he gets, right?
That's right. All right, we're
going to
learn
this.
Man,
that sounds like a 2-year-old or something. Wow.
He is.
Well, that's what they are. That's what they are, yeah.
Well, they are. Eternally. They're a perpetual 2-year-old.
Yep.
Yep.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah.
Lots of amusement with this character. He ain't no lassie, but he's as close as one could ask for. Yep.
I got new eyes on my real estate search. And so the plus for that is when I finally do relocate, I'm getting doggies and who knows what else, but definitely, yeah.
Get a herd of them.
Oh, well, the thing with that is you need to afford for them to be in comfort.
Oh, yeah, there's that food and stuff.
Yeah.
And there's only so much you can shovel in the backyard.
Yeah.
I've been shoveling for years, so that's not a problem.
Train them to use a bathroom, maybe. I don't know.
Well, if they go to the door and say, "Hey, dude, let me out," that's training. There you go.
I'd be more impressed if he used the bathroom and flush.
Oh,
there's
actually some type of training where you can train a cat to use an actual toilet. And
they have this mesh thing that acts as their litter box that you hang over the bowl, and away they go.
Yeah.
In some cases.
And the problem with that would be I've had apartments that only had one restroom. You know, what if you really got to go and say, "Oh, the cat's in there. Oh, man, come on."
Come on, Fuzzy.
I got to go. You know, I'm like, "Oh, come on, Spikers. Fluffy, get back out of here." So there's that. You never think about these things, but Gar does. So, yeah, there you go. And
the cat's like, "Yeah, would you close the door, please? Thanks."
Oh, there you go. Yeah, and there are some, there's some animal things now. that is something you put on the floor, and if the animal needs something, they go and they press the thing on the floor, and it goes, "Oh, hello, let me out," or something like that. One of those things that makes a noise, a dog was like woof woof woof, and whoever it was wasn't paying attention, so they went over to the little thing on the floor and they pressed it.
Wrap it
and
up.
It said the word for female dog.
Wrap it up. We gotta be here tomorrow at 6:30 Eastern for CBS Radio Mystery Theater, and Nothing But the Truth is the title. And right after that, at 8:00, what might happen?
If all goes well, Gar is gonna be in makeup and live, and we're gonna do the thing. If Cox Cable works.
Yep.
The ting, horrible hard, the ting over there, the ting.
Ting, more Gardegol. That's tomorrow, 8:00, right after this little thing called, Eerie House Radio. With another hit and run tale.
It is, yep.
No dogs this time.
I can only guesstimate when the clock is going to run out because it is way, way off, kids. So if I sound like a fool after this soundbite, I mean more
what
than
are we
usual. I apologize ahead of time.
Saying
see you tomorrow
minute.
Night at 6:30.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Please.
Can you dig it?
Oh, man.
All right, hey,
pretty
well,
close.
I'll be damned.
Pretty close.
I'll
pretty
be
close.
Damned. That was dumb luck and back timing and spit through my fingers and never, for luck or something like that.
Good old Bob was kind of quiet tonight.
Yeah, but he stayed till the end. He was he's the last comment in the chat. God bless him.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. So we caught you off guard with that ending, did we, Dale?
Oh my God, that was so
I could relate to the guilt guy though. I not that I carry such guilt, but I think that I would. Quite frankly, I think because as you know, Dave, I've been in a lot of auto accidents that I walked away from.
Yeah,
well, both of you know that.
Yes, you have.
It left me hurting. But when I try to spin things in a positive light, no matter what kind of negative things have happened to me, and it's like.
Right.
Well, the pains that I feel now remind me, A, that I'm still alive, and B, grateful that I don't have to carry that guilt, but it was me instead of somebody else that got hurt. You know what I mean? Property can be replaced. People cannot.
Or pets. Or animals.
True. Right. True. I mean, I love my dog to death, but I think fondly of my animals that have left me over the years. And, The dog I have now is the first one that we ever went out and said, all right, we're going to buy a dog because she wanted a, you know, she wanted Lassie. So we went with the full cut. But everything else was either a stray that we took in. You know, one time I took in a stray mom, and that's how I got the two knuckleheads, one remaining now that I've had. Mm-hmm. And I can't say I've saved as many as Dave. I've taken in a few.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say all of ours were strays.
Yeah.
And they were just willing.
And if you get a good stray, they're actually grateful. They may not say so all the time, but they're actually grateful.
Yeah.
Right. That's very weird.
This one is the offspring of a stray. But I figure, you know what? He's better off than going to the pound or with a stranger that might, I don't know, eat him. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have trust issues with humans.
Yeah. Or sacrifice them during a weird holiday. Yeah.
Oh, God. That stuff has to stop. Like, now.
I agree.
People actually
do that.
It's
not going to stop until people stop believing in really weird stuff.
I think they're mentally ill.
that might be, but there are still entire groups of them participating in this, and so it's like a whole bunch of these people are like mentally challenged that are doing this. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's a mass mental issue. I think that you can tell early on, like if a kid is really mean with pets, you're going to have problems with that kid, you know?
Right, right, yeah.
I judge people by how they treat animals. That's how I met my wife. That's how I'm like, God, if she's that nurturing, she's going to overcome all my shortcomings as a parent. And she does.
Right.
Still.
And my anecdote about my wife that took out that possum. I feel really bad about the possum, but at the same time, I don't want to die. So kind of a trade-off. You know, you don't stop on an interestate. That was kind of freaking
me
out.
Well, I think about fellow humans.
But,
I would always put a human before an animal, but an animal's like a close second, a very close second to me.
The guy in the story, I would have put the dog in front of him.
That guy had to go.
But that guy
thanks to that son of a pup, he's a changed man.
I don't think he was changed. I think the woman should have said, "See ya, pal," and well, I'll see you in divorce court. You know, and at the end of that, he was a despicable person all the way up to one point, and he had some type of a mental understanding, but it still didn't change who he was.
How do you know that? The story ended there.
Yeah.
I tracked
people
him down
can change,
using
Gar.
Google.
People can change. I've seen it.
From a
I
traumatic
tracked him
event,
down using
can.
Google, and he was still a dirtbag.
Okay. 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 Well, that's
yeah.
Then that's a different story. Yes.
Yes.
You know how thorough I am, right? You know, say, you know, I checked it out. Total dirtbag. Oh, yeah.
I chased him back all the way to the 1800s, right?
That's right. That's right. 1842. That's right.
Columbus sailed the ocean blue? No.
Yep, and that guy was a dirtbag all the way back then.
Wow.
So there you go. So it's been 3 weeks. I'm sorry I haven't been here, but things have just not been going my way. This week has been good, though. I've been able to do a lot of activity outside, which is like exercise, and that seems to have helped problems.
Good.
That's a yard work.
That's good exercise right there. Pick potatoes this noon. Like 10 pounds of them out of my garden.
Oh, wow. Oh,
Not 10 pounds.
Well,
excuse me. Wait a minute. Wait. I'm exaggerating. Closer to like 5 or 6. I'm exaggerating a little bit there.
Okay. Yeah. You don't want to throw your back out.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, we tried potatoes first time.
Nice.
They're doing good.
Cool.
They're doing good. I've got a total of like 7 pounds already because I picked a small batch earlier. I got some Yukon Golds and some Reds, and the Reds are better and bigger.
Nice.
You
I
mean
have a friend of mine.
You mean that there's gold? You mean there's gold in them there, Cabbage Patch?
There's gold in them there, taters.
Yeah. I have a friend of mine, and he has that debilitating thing, the diabetes, that, you know, is the plight of many. And his doctor, he and I kind of have the same type of doctors. We have VA doctors. And the doctor said, okay, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to modify your diet. And the guy's like, look, I've been a chef for restaurants. I'm not modifying my diet. We'll have to find some other way. I'm not giving up potatoes. I'm not giving up pasta. And I was like, no matter what, you have to enjoy life, you know?
Yes, to a point.
Yeah, so to a point. As long as it doesn't encroach on others, you know, that, yeah, yeah.
Well, the,
yeah.
Oh, well. Why, is that important?
to other people it is, yeah.
Oh, well. Well, other people.
Yeah. What a downer is that? Yeah.
Damn those other people.
Yeah. So, yeah. Now, I mean, he's not out eating like cookies and cake and stuff like that, but he said when it came to dealing with the carbohydrates that are associated with potatoes and pasta, he was like, I'll risk it. Like, well, there you go.
Well, I hate to say this, but I'm of a very similar mindset because – what good is life without living it? And but what I fight myself with daily and sometimes succeed is moderation.
Yes, yeah. Portion size, yeah, you can do a lot of stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, yeah, so that's always there.
Because, you know, as you get older, too, the body doesn't work the same.
It's a process. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
When I first came down with the diabetes stuff, I was like, oh, goodness, well, we're going to stop this, and we're going to stop that, and, you know, we're going to, you know, and, well, it's okay. But when you get to a point and it's like, you know what, you can have this, just, you know, chill out. Don't go crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll be all right. Yeah.
If use something smaller than a shovel when eating. That's what the deal is.
Oh, that,
that's
that
what I had to tell
American
myself.
Problems,
no shoveling. No more shovels.
No more shovels. Darn old shovels.
At the dinner table. Oh, yes, those shovels at the dinner table. Not the best eating utensil.
Yeah. There is absolutely no way to explain how much Dave and I cringed when you came up with the Dead Puppy song. It was like, oh, my
oh God.
Wow.
And I had no idea. I was looking for another one, and I don't have it. It's I'm looking over my dead dog Rover that I hit with a power.
Oh, my.
Bar.
Yeah, see? Either one will
one
work.
One leg is shattered,
either, yeah,
the other
yeah.
is gone. One
oh,
leg
yeah.
is shattered
see,
all
one.
Over the lawn.
Yeah. Today when gardening, when I was out there, I had music in my head running through a headset, but at the same time, every once in a while, I'd sit there and go like, oh man, that story tonight, some rough stuff.
That was rough.
Yeah. And that's another thing about working in my backyard, doing gardening and whatever. Always had the dog out there. One of them, one or the other one, one of them was out there. So it's kind of lonely in that backyard right now.
And you guys know, you fellows know me both well enough to know that sometimes, I don't want to say skeptical, I do try to keep an open mind, but about otherworldly things, shall we say. But have either of you guys experienced, and I think it's,
like
maybe it's me trying
ghosts?
To be logical.
What?
I mean, I remember after Stormy passed, I would swear I saw him in the hallway, and I'd turn back, and I thought he's following me down the hallway. Maybe because I'm so used to him being there, I don't know, and I fight myself with this thought when it occurred, and it abated the longer he was gone, you know. But for the longest time, I would feel his presence somehow, and I don't know if that was like just a memory kicking in or what that was, you know? Have either of you felt that at any time?
No, I haven't, no.
Oh, okay.
This is what I do believe, though. I believe when you have multiple pets, when one passes, another one picks up some of the traits that other one had. And that has always seemed to happen with our pets.
Mm-hmm.
Something they never did before. That the other one did, that they picked up and they do. That I have noticed.
That's kind of creepy. I mean, creepy but cool at the same time.
Yeah.
And bittersweet in a way,
And bittersweet, yes.
My doggy Benny, I had him for 13 and a half years, which is I wish he was 15 or 20 years, but 13 and a half, you know, you take what you get. And when he passed, I felt him by my side once. And I was like, wow, okay. He had a very unusual trait. He would lay down, and when he laid down, he'd take one paw and cross it over the other. I've never seen a dog do that before.
Oh, Paladin does that from time to time.
Yeah, so it's an unusual trait.
Yeah, it's like I'm chilling here.
I haven't. Yeah. It's crazy. It's a crazy, crazy thing. My other dog did not do that ever. And so I don't know if that's part breed or what. I don't know what that is.
I don't know. But it's people have different quirks or position themselves different ways. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. That was unusual. But as far as actually feeling an animal this past, I did feel it with my Benny. I didn't feel it as much with Jim. I definitely grieved his loss. It hurt me so bad. I think I was absent from Horrible Horror and from Eerie House for quite a while.
Yeah,
you
took it hard.
Oh, it was bad. It was bad.
It hurt us too when you were going through that, bro. Let me tell you.
Oh,
yes,
my God.
It did. Cause we've all been through it. Yes.
Yeah. And it's just, I don't know. Unlike both of you two gentlemen, I've never had a child, but I have had these animals that were as close to me as family could be. And
that is very much like having a child. It's not a whole lot different, Gar. I think you would have made a good a good parent, in spite of everything we know about you. I think you would.
Exactly. That's right.
Kidding.
When it was found out within the last few years that a dog can get a vocabulary of several hundreds of words that they understand. Okay, I'm sorry, you're seeing some sentience in there. It's not just, just an animal working on rote memory.
And I know you are not of a religious bent in any way, but
right.
It is precisely why I love that story in The Twilight Zone, The Hunt. It's precisely why I love that story. Even if you're
not
religious,
familiar.
If you put yourself in the thought of why aren't they good enough for heaven, you know? What kind of place would heaven be without a dog? What kind of place would it be?
I have always kind of said, you know what, you guys have all these rules for what you guys are practicing. That's fine. But if you're not going to let a dog in there, I'm sorry. I'm not part of that, whatever it is.
Yeah, and that's the way Dude felt in The Hunt. And that's why that particular episode means a whole lot to me.
Yeah. Well, it makes a point.
A very good point.
A lot of people say that they go to, I don't know why, I don't know where you get this from, people that are incredibly not Norwegian or Norse. And they say, my baby went to the Rainbow Bridge. It's like, what, they're with Odin? What are you saying? I don't get what they're talking about.
I think it's more of a sense of whatever you believe in. If you believe in something, you'll be reunited with your pet someday. That's what I get out of it. I try to take a positive.
Yeah, that's what I would hope.
Yeah.
But the Rainbow Bridge is kind of like
I think it's a metaphor.
God,
that's all
stuff.
It is. It's a metaphor.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's a metaphor. Oh, okay.
Well, it's a metaphor for what may come. How about that?
That's how I take it.
Right or wrong, that's just how I read it.
Yeah. I misunderstood.
We're getting so deep today. What the hell?
Well, we have that darn puppy song, puppy story.
Yep, the puppy story.
Everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
no more
hidden
puppy
runs we could deal with. The hidden runs we could deal with, and the ghostly father we could deal with, but that puppy we couldn't deal with it. Yeah,
exactly.
Just brought out one big spleen. One big spleen.
A giant spleen, safe space, whatever. Safe word.
And so in this, are we kind of deplorable in the fact that we don't mind if a human gets taken out with a hit and run, but a dog is no?
Well, no. What it is, I don't think it's that. I think it's the fact that it's a story. And we can accept it with a human with a story, but we can't accept a dog with a story.
Right.
In a way, though, I think it is part of what I hope nature put in us, or God, or whatever you believe, put in us to be nurturing. And a grown human is not helpless, but a child, a baby, a pet, they don't have the understanding of the world that we do, and therefore they need our and we're more protective, and we're more. I think we feel that loss more. God, are we getting philosophical? What the hell?
Yeah, we're so deep. What's going on over here?
I think it's time to bring in Durante. This is just way too much.
That's a good point.
We're going to start crying.
I'm going to start crying, man.
and before Paladin dies of crossing his legs together, let's go ahead.
Oh, that too. Yeah. I don't want to do that.
With the schnozzle, gentlemen, we'll see you on radio.
It's been fun.
Good night.
Good night.
Yeah. It's time to say good night.
Gotta love the dog.
What for this sake, but good night. We've had a few
good night, Lassie.
And it's time for toodling. Are we the same? And eat what we can do. Good night.
Oh.
Hey. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Brazil!
Please!
Now that wasn't so bad, was it?
It was disgusting.
That is pretty terrible.